Milo's Pro Rewards members. Go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Well, hello and welcome to the latest episode of Let's Talk About. We've had a little bit of a break. And when I say we, I mean me, Elliot, and my dear friend, co-host, Seb.
Oh, hello, I'm back from the land of the dead. I'm still here.
That's true. Now, we've been away for a little while. Not out of desire, trust me, but Seb has had V plague.
I have.
He had that for a number of weeks. And then last weekend, I got the plague as well. So we had that. But the good news is today we're here, we're talking about Finding Nemo. So we've had about 4 weeks to be able to do intense research on this movie. So, when was the last time you saw this film, Seb?
Oh, well, you see, with all this time to prepare and actually watch this film, I can confidently say the last time I saw this film was a couple of years ago.
Well, there we go. I, however, saw it yesterday, last night. So I think together we've got an average of we both saw it a year ago.
Yeah.
I think that's how maths works.
Didn't we do this? Was it like Frozen where you like, I've seen this so many times I could confidently not watch it and still talk about it? It was something like that.
I think it was Encanto.
Oh,
I think
maybe.
It was a case of we reviewed it the year it came out and I'd already seen it. Four times.
That sounds about right, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? It's brand new. There's no nostalgia here. I know what I'm doing. But you, before we start recording, you've confidently told me that you know this film like the back of your neck. So
yeah, and I'm always looking at the back of my neck. I mean, I just remember sitting down watching this film thinking, God, Will Smith is really good in this film. And he's just so funny. And I can't wait to see the sequels.
Yeah. So, but anyway, this is going to be our review of it. Obviously, you can trust one of our opinions a little bit more. but, you know, it'll be good to still get each other's thoughts nonetheless. So, this is like, we've had so many Pixar movies on our list to watch. The last few times. So, for listeners who perhaps haven't realised, or perhaps you're new to this, what we do is at the end of every single Disney review, we've got all the Disney and Pixar movies on the wheel, which we spin. And there's a lot more Disney movies than there are Pixar movies. I think there's like, what, 20-something Pixar movies, but there's like 60-something Disney movies.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the old wheel, it wants us to watch Pixar. So this one, if you haven't guessed by us telling you repeatedly and by the title that you clicked on, it's all about Finding Nemo.
Yes.
So... the normal question I ask is that it gets sound a bit stupid. But, Seb, how did you feel when you realised that the next film you had to watch was Finding Nemo when it came on the whole wheel?
I can't remember because it was so long ago. But I do remember thinking, oh, that's a good film. It's also probably one of the ones I've seen the most, which is why I was quite, like, really couldn't get into the mood to actually sit down and watch it. But then, like, in my head, I can vividly, like, picture, like, the entire movie. And like, it's very iconic as well. What was it, 2002, 2003?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Yeah, I remember going to the cinema with my parents for this one. Yeah, cool. And yeah, I think it's been quite influential. It was because Pixar were doing that thing where like every movie was different. You know, they were doing like toys and then bugs and then like, let's just do fish. And then to work out how to animate like that and the ocean and all that kind of stuff, and it's always, I think it's held up pretty well. It's been universally kind of loved. This is that kind of, I don't know if it's like peak Pixar, but this is where every film was a hit.
Yeah. So, for me, when we got the thing that we had to watch it, I was like, this is a good movie. Like you, I didn't know if I could be bothered to watch it again. Because when I was thinking Finding Nemo, I was like, it's good. But, you know, it's quite average compared to, like, Pixar movies. So, even though we have had 4 weeks, in fact, I only watched it yet last night, and even then, I was texting you. I was just like, you know, are we likely to be talking about this today? Because I was thinking of 101 things I'd rather do at that point than stick on Finding Nemo. But, you know, one of us actually cared enough about our listeners to watch it.
Yeah.
To watch it. No, joking. But I watched it anyway, because I thought, well, I might as well. I need to watch it at some point. So what we'll do is we'll go into our reviews of a film that are non-spoiler in case you haven't seen this 21-year-old movie.
Yeah.
So what, as someone who hasn't seen it recently, opening thoughts.
So my thoughts on this film are P. Sherman 42 Warby Way, Sydney. Is that it?
I think that about characterises it.
Yeah.
Go on. So, you have more. Okay, that's fine.
I have stuff. A part of the reason why I kind of didn't want to sit down as well is because I just remember how, like, depressing the opening is. And I don't know what that was like watching it as an adult. But yeah, I just seem to remember, like, I guess, did we say spoilers? I think we did, didn't we?
Not quite yet, but okay. We can go into it if you want.
Well, okay, I'll wait until later then. But yeah, so it opens up with quite, you know, sad kind of thing. And then, like, you know, the story goes on from there. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can go through that. But I think this movie has a lot of charm and some nice humour. I was just watching, like, a clip on IMDb a few moments ago. It's got my favourite joke in the thing where I think it's after they set off all the mines and they all, like, explode. And then it pans to some pelicans on the water, and you see a bubble plop, and everyone goes, "Nice!" and then flies off because he thinks it's fired. I was like, "That's a great joke." So, yeah, this is quite a fun one.
Yeah. So, like I said, for me, going into it, I was a bit like, meh. But after watching it yesterday, and sleeping on it, and mulling over it, while I was setting up for this podcast, I think this is top three of all the Disney movies we have ranked or reviewed on here. I have had such a change of heart. I think you enjoy this as a youngling, shall we say. But as an adult, it's a roller coaster, and I was with it every step of the way.
Oh my goodness! What a reveal!
I know. And I was looking at, because I keep a list of, like, all the movies that we've reviewed, all the Disney movies we've reviewed on this podcast, and, like, I've ranked them all, and, like, my top four currently, from one to four, is Lion King, Frozen, Toy Story, The Incredibles, and I feel like this is quite easily either just. I'm unsure between this and Toy Story, if I'm being honest. But it's either got that three or that four place.
Wow.
Phenomenal. All without any singing.
That's a good point.
Just keep swimming.
Yeah, it doesn't really count. I think, because that's the other thing as well, is that this movie has a lot of heart and emotion and some, like, gut punches. And, yeah, I think, I remember, you know, as a kid, it's like, oh, it's quite sad, whatever. But it's like, yeah, I think, because I've seen this loads of times, and I think I've seen it a few times as an adult, and it's like, yeah, it's actually, you know, you see it from a bit of a different perspective. So, but I'm very surprised to hear it's in your top three. I'll be very interested to see when we get to Monsters, Inc., if we haven't watched that already.
Yeah, we haven't watched it yet. Well, it's funny, because we can go into this now, is the site I can refer to a lot when it comes to, like, rankings is ranker.com, because it's kind of like everyone's kind of like voting for where they want things to be.
Yeah.
So I quite like that system. And the top, hang on, I did have it here. The top four Pixar movies are literally my exact top four, even with the ones we haven't seen yet.
Cool.
Just in a different, slightly different order. But again, only slightly different. So number one is Monsters, Inc. And I would say that and Monsters University, if I put them as, like, a collective, they're, like, my favorite Pixar movies.
Yeah.
Then you've got like Finding Nemo as number two, which I completely get now. Toy Story was number three. And then number four was The Incredibles. So they are, and I'm looking at the others just to make sure I didn't like miss any, but they are very easily my top sort of like four Pixar movies.
Okay.
So goes to show that I'm just the same as everyone else, really.
Yeah.
I just follow the leader.
You are a man of the people. I think as well, a part of this film is it's a massive adventure. You compare it to, I don't know, like say Toy Story. Like a lot of it's in Andy's room, but then they do go out to like Pizza Planet and Sid's house. But with this, it's like, you know, you've got the kind of the place where they live initially. And then you go off to the different place. You've got the place with the sharks. You've got the stuff with the turtles and the jellyfish and all these other places. And you've also got Nemo's story in like that tank and then all the other fish going on there. And you've got the stuff with the pelicans. I think there's quite a lot of moving parts in this movie and like lots of great characters and different kind of places. And even though like most of it's underwater, but it's still got that different feel, which I think is really good. And I just think, yeah, visually, it's a very stunning film for something from the early noughties. I know the animation for some of the fish is a bit, you can kind of tell it's of its time, and they do refine it, I think, in like Finding Dory, but it's so easy and nice to look at, which just makes it so easy for like casual viewing when it was on like TV. It's just, yeah, stick that on, kids will be fine.
Yeah. And I think sort of like with that as well, because we can kind of like lead into spoiler territory now. So before we go into that, you know, a raving review from me. So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. You know, Seb said he's seen it like a million times. He wouldn't do that.
No.
He didn't like it.
I might go watch it after this, though.
Instead of the next movie we have to watch, you'll go watch this one.
Yeah.
But my first note, links in with yours, is literally from like within the first 5 seconds, I'd whipped out my phone to make a note, which is that this movie is stunning. Even though it's 21 years old, it was like beautiful. So we talked about all these adventures, so we can kind of go through them one by one. So the first one, I'd kind of forgotten the intro and just how emotionally damaging it is.
Is it opened with the eggs?
It opens with the couple. So Marlin and his wife or partner, whatever you call the fish. And like, you know, they're all being lovey dovey and then we're going to the eggs, and they're naming like the eggs, and it's really sweet. And it's like, it's that moment I remember, but hang on, there's only Nemo and there's no wife. What happens here? And then you get the sort of like the repertory fish come along and Marlin gets knocked out after he tells her just to leave it. And yeah, and it's really sad because like he wakes up, like imagine that, waking up and like not only your wife's gone, but like hundreds of your babies to be.
Yeah.
It's very dark.
Very rough. Yeah.
I know it's a cartoon, but still, it's like people think Up's bad. He just lost an old person he got to spend his whole life with. Anyway. So that was hard. And then, like, you know, then we start getting the thing. He sees very overprotective of, like, Nemo. But then again, within, like, 5 minutes, he's like, you've got, like, Nemo's caught.
All right, yeah.
He's running, and you're like, he's now lost everything else. Like, it doesn't take long. And I'm like, I'm there 15 minutes into the movie, just, like, holding myself in the fetal position, just letting out all my tears.
Well, because isn't it the fact that, like, the egg, I don't know if the egg was small or something, but, like, Nemo has, like, a small fin, and I think, you know, he calls it his lucky fin. But then, like, it's his first day of school, but Marlin's just so overprotective because of the trauma. And he's like, you know, walking to school and all those other kind of things. And that's where it all goes wrong, because then he touches the butt and that's where he gets captured.
Great joke.
It's good.
And what I find, like, with this movie as well, is just like there's lots of little things in it that make it great. But when you look at this movie, you wouldn't call it a comedy movie. And you wouldn't say, oh, it's got an amazing score or anything like that. But they, like, the score and the humour is just so delicate that it adds to it so well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take away from the actual story. Like, you know, we talk about like Thor, Love and Thunder as an example.
Yeah.
Where some would argue that the amount of comedy, isn't it, takes away from the actual story. Like it was just a bit too much. Whereas this was just like little bits. It was just like garnished. And
Yeah, it's very different to modern kind of movies, isn't it?
Yeah. But no, like, seriously, so you've already talked about my first note was, my next two were Stop It Please Disney with the heartbreaking intros. And then the next one, 5 minutes later, it's heartbreaking again. It was... oh, dear. But no, but what I like about this movie is all the constant callbacks to different things.
Yes.
So we see from the get-go that Marlon's like very protective, and he thinks that basically the people he loved, they can't look after themselves without him, you know? And like when you think about it, it's like, well, that makes sense. Because when it comes to that intro, if his wife had listened to him, ignored the eggs, and just went back into their home, nothing probably would have happened. The fish wouldn't have been able to get them. Probably wouldn't even knew about the babies. But even if they did, at least then the wife would still be alive, worst case scenario. But she didn't listen to him, and because of that, he lost everything. And of course, and that's hard, because he's got like a, what would you call him? A child? A teenager?
Sure.
Nemo? I don't know.
He's like a school kid, isn't he?
And of course, yeah, exactly. And he just wants to do his own thing, you know. In fact, he was going to listen to his father, but, you know, because of that lack of trust, it then left to rebellion. So, and you start seeing that throughout the entire movie, when you meet Dory, you know, with him not trusting her, but then seeing things go wrong, to then him trusting her, to then him trusting Nemo when they meet up later. And oh my days, it's just...
It's good.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful stuff. Oh dear. Also, tons of... I didn't realise how much of this movie I quote in my day-to-day life. Fish are friends, not food.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's like that whole shark scene.
Yeah, because it's
probably one of the best.
Yeah, because you meet them and they're all like, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for sharks that eat fish. And then it's like that one drop of blood is what sends Bruce back into like ravaged way. I love that scene where he's like, so he's chasing them, and it's obviously very tense because he's just going to eat them. And so they're running away and they get to that hole, and he's like smashing into the hole. And every time he like pulls back, the other ones are going there to like try and talk to him. He's like, but you'll take it personally. He's really a nice guy. It's just, I remember that being very fun.
Fantastic. That's like, obviously that was so influential as me. I named one of my pets Bruce after him years ago. So, you know.
Bruce.
Great stuff. You've also got, hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. And I think that's incredible.
Oh, what, I don't remember that.
Because that's Dory talking to Marlon. I don't know why.
Oh, who knows? Yeah.
But he's always grumpy, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Mr. Grumpy you know, Gills.
He just keeps swimming. I also loved the... it's essentially, just for those who've stuck here, haven't seen the movie. So Nemo is his little kid. He's got captured. He's been taken away by a boat. He's ended up in Sydney. So his dad, Marlon's gone out for a run. He's met into a character called Dory. He's got short-term memory loss. And they're trying to find this boat. And they find one of the goggles that the divers were wearing. And he can't read English because he's a fish. But logically, she can.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that works. But we go into like the deep part of the ocean. I can't remember what they're called, but the type of fish where they've got a little light on
them. Oh,
yeah. Thing you don't know too much about because they're quite deep. But and she's like, well, can you like direct his light towards it so I can read the goggle? And he's there like trying not to die. He's just like trying to hold it for it. Oh my days, it's just ridiculous. But yeah, but because of that, we get she literally asks, it's one of the things, light please.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney. So you know, that's great.
I still remember that to this day.
I know. And while all that is going on, Nemo's been put in a fish tank. So he's been domesticated to a degree, he's with other fish, some have come from different fish stores. I think there was one who came from the ocean as well. They had to have a ritual for some odd reason.
Oh, yeah.
Ring of fire.
Shark bait. Ooh, ha, ha.
And yeah. Oh, dear.
So Willem Dafoe plays Gil, doesn't he? Because he's got like
I can't remember. That makes sense.
He's got like a kind of messed up fin, just like Nemo does. So they kind of bond a bit, don't they?
It's just... all of his thing, all of my notes are just, it's just ridiculous things that happen in the movie.
Yeah.
I talk about how impactful this was emotionally, but it's got ridiculous in it as well. You know, why was there a ritual? You know, who was she talking about? She was like, I shall call him Squishy and he shall be mine.
He shall be my Squishy. Yes.
Oh, the baby jellyfish.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
You've got the seagulls. Mine.
Oh, bat. Yeah. A classic, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I've literally got, is this the most quotable Disney movie? Because I was like, I was watching it, I was like, I use this all the time.
Yeah.
You have a bit where, go on.
No, go on, you go first, actually.
Oh, okay, I will do. That's good. You got a bit where Dory starts crying, because I think Marlon kind of like snaps at her.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he doesn't want her to, he's already lost everything. He doesn't want her to, like, risk her life. So he basically says, you know, I don't want you to come with me. And, of course, she takes it like a child, as if, like, not viewing the seriousness. Why? But, you know. You know, I'm just like, that's so relatable.
Well, yeah, because she says, doesn't she, that, you know, because she's got amnesia, right, is the whole point of her character. But she says that when I'm with you, I don't forget. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, lose you, because I don't want to, you know, I want to be able to remember. And yeah, it's quite sad. You know, that must be quite scary, being in that position where you don't remember things, right? So I think that was quite impactful. And because when he says that, you know, he says, oh, you think you can do these things, but you just can't, Nemo. And he realizes he's talking to Dory, he's still got his hang up about, as you said, about how he's having to protect everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And like, we start seeing all these callbacks that we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but like, she gets told right after that scene by the fish that do the impressions, which are, by the way, spot on. You know, or when you get to the trench, you know, go through it, not over it. And she's telling him, she's like, oh, we've got to go through the trench, we've got to go through the trench. She can't remember why, but she can just remember that. And of course, he ignores her. And because of that, they get in like the jellyfish, whatever you want to call it. And then she gets damaged, he gets damaged.
Yeah.
But then the same thing happens later on, and she says, oh, do this, trust me. I can't remember what that was now.
Is it where they're in the whale?
Yeah, that was it. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? She's like, you know, oh, just let go. You know, because they also get eaten by a whale, because she can speak whale somehow.
Yes.
She's multilingual.
Hello.
Yeah. And of course, he doesn't believe her, but he decides that, you know what, he is going to trust her. And then because of that, they end up in Sydney.
Yes.
Which is good. We also have, like, I mean, we could honestly talk about all the parts of this movie, because, like, there's sections in there. You were saying about it earlier. Like, you've got the intro sadness, the setup. You've got the whole Dory scene. You've got the deep, sort of like in the water scene. You've got the shark scene. Mm. You've got the turtle scene. You've got the jellyfish scene. You've got the scenes when they're in the tank. Mm. It's just, it's non-stop goodness.
Yeah, and I think that's the good thing, is like, because it's under the ocean, you could get very bored, I think, because it's all like the same set. But having those different places, you get like the current East Australian current, the AC, that's the one with all the turtles, and they're like, "Duh, totally," and all that kind of stuff. It's like all those little lines often say, and that was quite nice as well, because it's a nice little change of pace, because they're all like stoners, aren't they? Which is quite fun. Which makes sense. Because they're Australian.
And it's great seeing just like how much Marlon kind of like learns from the whole thing. Because like, you see at the start, you know, like, oh no, we don't ever talk to like a shark. Or, you know, oh, I have no idea how old a sea turtle is.
Yes.
And like all of these things you start getting the callbacks from, you know, not only does he talk to a shark, but he basically fights off three of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's then with a turtle and he remembers to ask him, you know, how old are you? Like, it's 150. And it's just like,
yeah, that was cool, because then at the end, yeah, it pays off. But because what the other thing I just remembered as well is that his story spreads throughout the ocean, doesn't it? Because different like fish talk about it. And there's this bit where the two swordfish are like fighting, and like, shh, I hear about this guy, he's trying to find his son. And it's like, that's a cool little scene. There's all the dolphins, and it spreads, because I guess it gets to the pelican, right?
Yeah,
where he then hears about it, and then he figures out it's Nemo or something, right?
Yeah. And because someone, they get eaten by like another pelican. And he's just like, no, I'm not getting to Sydney just to fail now and be eaten. So he forces like a pelican to start choking.
Yes.
So he coughs him back up. The other guy realizes who they are. Then you get all the siffy, the seagulls. So like surrounding them.
Oh,
he's just
yes.
like, I know where Nemo is. Just jump in my mouth.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why would I jump in your mouth? It's like, please. You know, I know Nemo with a bad fin. And he's like, Nemo! And he jumps up and another seagull.
Yes.
It's just ridiculous. And then you get like the whole scenes of Darla. The one child I could quite happily slap.
Oh, yeah. The braces.
Shaking all the... Yeah. Oh, my days. Oh.
Yeah, because it's, like, then it's the no tapping sign, isn't it? And she's like proper like tapping on the glass, isn't she? Yeah. Sorry.
Then you finally get where we all meet up. And like, again, like Dory gets trapped in like the thing of fish that's been caught by the fisherman.
Yeah.
And then Nemo's just like, oh, I've seen this before. If we all go in there and get them to swim down, they'll all be saved.
Hmm.
And of course, like Marlin's just literally just saved his son. And now he might lose him again. And he's just like, trust me, Dad. And he trusts him.
Mm.
And it works.
Character development. Oh,
isn't that amazing? And like we could talk about this movie forever. I'm trying to rush through a lot of it, so this isn't. But like, you always get a bit where like he thinks his son's dead, and then you know he leaves Dory, and Dory's forgotten everything. But then she bumps into Nemo, and she's just like, he's just like, oh, I'm Nemo. He's like, she's like, Nemo, what a nice name.
Yeah.
And they go off together. But then I think she sees Sydney, the word Sydney, and it just reminds her of everything. And it's again character. Oh, beautiful. Essentially, this is a roller coaster of a movie.
Oh.
And it's just incredible. And I don't know why I doubted myself. And yeah, it's one of the reasons why we do this series is the fact that practically every time we spin the wheel and we think what movie we've got to watch, I know you're the same. It's a chore. We think, why do I have to watch this movie?
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this movie. There's 101 things I'd rather do. But then you watch it and you just get reminded just how amazing Disney is. Even
yeah.
as an adult. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's my raving review. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think you pretty much covered everything. I was just looking at like the cast, because like I don't remember many of the... I mean, the big ones like Ellen as the voice of Dory. But other than that, a lot of these are like kind of Pixar guys and some other kind of people. The only ones I noticed are like Jeffrey Rush was the voice of Nigel the Pelican. And there's a few other ones. Like Eric Banner was one of the sharks. Which is quite cool. But yeah, I think it's just interesting to look at the ratings. Like on here, Finding Nemo got 8.2, which is quite high. Just comparing that to the others, Monsters Inc. was an 8.1, Up's an 8.3, Toy Story's 8.3, Incredibles 8.0. But I have got some trivia here. I don't know if you've been able to compile any of your own.
I've not. I had so many things I want to talk about, regardless of trivia. I thought I'd leave that all to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just pick out a few ones that I think are quite fun. So Andrew Stanton pitched his idea and story to Pixar head John Lasseter in an hour-long session using elaborate visual aids and character voices. At the end of it, an exhausted Stanton asked Lasseter what he thought, to which Lasseter replied, "You had me at fish." Which I thought, it's quite fun. But yeah, I mean, because we haven't really seen anything like this, I don't think. And like, because we had like obviously 2D animated stuff, we had like Little Mermaid, but not much of that was really under the sea. A little pun for you.
Under the sea.
Da-da-da-da. But obviously that was still quite good. Interestingly, this movie surpassed The Lion King, 1994, to become the highest grossing animated film.
Oh, wow.
It's quite cool because the producer called the director for this to congratulate him and said it's about time, which is nice. Interestingly here, apparently Pixar developed a realistic look of the surface water, but had to make it look fake so people wouldn't think it was actual footage of the ocean's surface.
Wow. And I can understand that, to be fair.
Mm. And interestingly, as of September 2015, this is the best-selling DVD of all time in the world, with 41 million copies sold. And I seem to remember this was one of those, right, where pretty much everyone had it. I think that's why we probably watched it so many times, I guess.
I think it must have come out at the right time as well, when DVDs were all the rage, but it wasn't, like, mega expensive to get it.
Yeah.
Which is good. But yeah.
So this is an interesting one. I kind of get your thoughts on this. So the director originally planned to reveal the fate of Marlin's wife gradually through flashbacks, seen periodically as the story unfolded. After a few early in-house screenings, he found that Marlin came off as too much of a worrywart and decided to reveal the entire backstory up front, thus making Marlin more appealing by establishing the reason. So interestingly, this idea was then used in Finding Dory, because she starts having flashbacks about her family. So I don't know, that would have been an interesting kind of wrinkle.
It'd be a different movie by that point though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think having that established, it just changed a lot. Yeah, I think it's, I think in terms of like emotionally wise, it would be a bit easier because it is a bit of a slap for, within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it, like you said, it, it does make the rest of the film, I think, a bit more impactful because you know the whole story from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you get those films where you have that kind of guessing what's going on. But I think, yeah, for this to work, I think you get why he's so overprotective, right? When you've lost everything, you don't want to lose any more. But then you also want to be like, oh, but you've got to let them, you know, do this. So, yeah, I mean, there's loads on here. We'll have to look at these another time, I think. But it's pretty cool. A lot of stuff on here.
Very good. Well, I think it's time to find out what we're going to be reviewing and hopefully watching next.
Oh.
After you watch Finding Nemo, of course. And then, of course, you'll have more things you'll want to say. So we'll have to do a second episode.
Yeah.
Right. Let's spin that wheel.
Ooh. What are the odds of it being another Pixar film?
It could be Finding Dory. We've not had two in a row. Oh, no, did we? Do you have Cars and Cars 2?
I think we did.
I can't remember.
Well, they were close anyway.
It's just past Finding Dory, though. It's going to be a Pixar movie, by the way. No, it's not. All right. So we've got Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh.
But we've not seen the first one yet as part of our series. So we'll watch Wreck-It Ralph first.
Ooh.
Which is funny. So that means it was a one-off Inside Out. So it was almost another Pixar movie. It was getting so close. It went Finding Dory, Inside Out, and then Ralph Breaks the Internet. So, yeah, you seen Wreck-It Ralph before?
I have, yes. I've seen it maybe once or twice, but it's been a while, so I think that'd be quite good.
Yeah, I've seen it quite a few times. I think the opening thoughts, the first one, from what I remember, is, like, incredible, and the second one I could do without in my life.
Yeah, I never saw the second one, and I hear a lot of people that didn't really love it, but I'll be interested to see.
Yeah, but we'll see. Wreck-It Ralph against one that I'll be intrigued to rank, because I think this is going to be quite a high one.
Mm.
But I'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And when I say your, I mean you, the people listening, whether you're in your car or at home or at work or whatever you're doing.
Or in prison.
With these little voices in your ear or in prison. You know, what do you think of Finding Nemo? You know, do you love it like me? Have you watched it a ton like Seb?
Oh.
Have you not seen it? Well, we want to know. So how can they let us know?
Well, they can send word to a pelican and he will find your fish for you. Or you can go to Instagram and follow lta.podcast and slide into our DMs and tell us why Finding Nemo is your favourite Pixar film and why Nemo means nobody or something, which is why the title's like Finding No One or something, I seem to remember reading.
Oh, wow. Never heard that before.
Yeah.
No, a bit of trivia. Cool. You can also email us. You'll be less likely to reply this way. But you can do it if you don't mind a delay of a few months. That's letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
But yeah. But either way, thank you for listening. And next one, we'll be talking about... What are we talking about? I think it's... We've done What If, haven't we? We've done Loki. So it's Echo.
I need to watch that, so yeah.
Ah, there you go. I've not finished it yet. I thought you finished it.
I never started it, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. It might not be Echo. It will be.
Well, yeah, we'll sort it will be something.
But the next Disney one will be whatever we just said.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah. Well, you've got a million quotes to choose from, Seb. So what words of wisdom are you going to leave us with today?
I would say... And this is just like good life advice, right? I would just say, just keep swimming.
I thought you were going to go with that one.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Just keep swimming.
Bye.